Behind the elegant facade of the Helmer household lies a marriage built on illusion. When Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House premiered in 1879, its ending scandalized society. A woman abandoning her husband and children was unthinkable. Yet Nora Helmer's departure through that door became one of theater's most revolutionary moments. This wasn't just another domestic drama. It was a profound challenge to Victorian society's most cherished institutions. The play stripped away the veneer of the perfect marriage to reveal the suffocating reality beneath. What makes this work so enduring isn't just its feminist message, but how it transforms an ordinary Norwegian household into the battleground for questions about identity, love, and personal freedom that still resonate today. When that door slammed shut, it opened countless others for generations of women and for modern drama itself. Torvald Helmer treats Nora as a possession rather than an equal, using infantilizing pet names like Little Squirrel and Songbird while maintaining control. The Christmas setting highlights this dynamic as he distributes money to her like a child receiving a gift. Their home physically embodies their relationship, beautiful, orderly, but confining. Their marriage represents the Victorian ideal of a protective husband and devoted wife, yet beneath this perfect surface lies profound inequality. Torvald doesn't just love Nora, he possesses her, viewing her charm as a reflection of his success. Nora has moved from her father's house to her husband's without developing her own identity. Her flirtations, manipulations, and management of Torvald's moods aren't mere frivolity, but a sophisticated survival strategy in a world offering women little genuine autonomy. Behind Nora's carefree facade lies a profound secret. 8 years earlier, when Torvald fell gravely ill, doctors recommended a trip to Italy to save his life. With Torvald unable to work, Nora secretly borrowed money from Nils Krogstad, forging her dying father's signature as guarantor, a crime committed out of love. This secret has shaped her entire life. While Torvald believes she spends frivolously, she's actually been saving from her household allowance to repay this debt and taking on late-night copying work while maintaining her housewife persona. What makes Nora's sacrifice poignant is her belief that Torvald would have done the same. It was like being a man, she tells Mrs. Linde, revealing how this independence gave her power typically denied to women. The irony is devastating. Torvald patronizes Nora as incapable of understanding serious matters, while she carries the burden of having saved his life. This hidden sacrifice creates the play's central tension. We watch Torvald underestimate the woman who saved him, unaware that his remarks about deceitful mothers producing children who go bad wound Nora deeply, making her question whether her deception might harm her beloved children. When Krogstad threatens to expose Nora's forgery unless she convinces Torvald to keep him employed, her carefully constructed world begins to crumble. The mailbox becomes a source of terror. "There it is in the box," she whispers. "There it lies. Torvald, Torvald, now we are lost." As pressure mounts, Nora cycles through desperate strategies. She first tries to influence Torvald through flirtation. When this fails, she contemplates suicide to protect him from scandal. "When I'm out of the way," she reasons, "you will be free." Her desperation shows in her erratic behavior. While distracting Torvald from checking the mail, she practices the tarantella with frenzied movements, revealing her inner turmoil, a metaphor for performing frantically while calculating she has 31 hours to live. Despite years of careful management, Nora's security collapses quickly. Her stability proves illusory, dependent on appearances rather than fundamental truths. As the walls close in, we glimpse the real woman beneath the doll exterior. Resourceful, determined, and increasingly aware her marriage may not provide the protection she once believed. The play's climax arrives when Torvald discovers Krogstad's letter revealing Nora's forgery. Rather than protecting her, he erupts in selfish fury, concerned only with his reputation. "No man sacrifices his honor, even for one he loves," he declares, prioritizing social standing over the woman who saved his life. His reaction is brutal. He calls Nora a hypocrite, liar, and criminal, claiming she has ruined my future, and revokes her right to raise their children, fearing her corruption. When Krogstad's second letter withdraws the threats, Torvald shifts without reflection, reverting to patronizing endearments, declaring, "I have forgiven you," and attributing her actions to womanly helplessness. This reversal catalyzes Nora's awakening. Watching her husband move from condemnation to condescension without understanding, she realizes, "In all these 8 years, we have never exchanged one serious word about serious things." Once Nora sees the truth of her marriage, returning to her previous existence becomes impossible. The woman who danced the tarantella hours earlier now stands transformed, unwilling to perform any longer. Nora's decision to leave both husband and children was perhaps the play's most controversial element. In Victorian society, motherhood represented a woman's highest calling and sacred duty. By choosing self-discovery over maternal obligation, Nora violated the most fundamental social expectation for women. When Torvald condemns those who breathe lies into their children, Nora questions whether her deception might harm her children. "No, no, don't let them come into me. Keep them away." In their final confrontation, Nora declares, "I believe that before all else, I am a human being, just as much as you are." When Torvald protests she's abandoning her most sacred duties, she responds, "I have other duties equally sacred, duties to myself." This revolutionary statement challenges Victorian gender roles by asserting her personhood over socially assigned roles. Her claim to educate herself represents a radical demand for intellectual and moral autonomy. Ibsen doesn't present Nora's choice as easy. Her admission, "It's painful for me, Torvald, because you've always been so kind to me, but I can't help it. I don't love you anymore," reveals the genuine anguish behind her decision. When A Doll's House premiered, it detonated like a cultural bomb. European dinner parties erupted in heated arguments about Nora's decision, with some theaters demanding modified endings where she remained with her family. Religious leaders and conservatives condemned it as an attack on marriage. The play became a rallying point for the emerging women's rights movement, helping crystallize dissatisfaction with Victorian marriage conventions and contributing to evolving divorce laws and women's property rights. A Doll's House revolutionized drama by replacing external action with psychological exploration, establishing modern, realistic theater. Its focus on ordinary people facing moral dilemmas democratized theatrical subject matter, while its everyday language set a new standard for naturalistic expression. It transformed audience expectations by refusing moral simplicity and neat resolution, establishing drama as a forum for exploring complex social questions rather than merely entertaining. Nora's journey from decorative doll to autonomous human being continues to resonate because it speaks to our deepest fears and hopes about authenticity and freedom.